Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blonde. I got another guest on who has a different insight than all the other guests I've had on this show. I've had all walks of life from the nation of Yasharel, and this is the first, I think not the first time, but it's been a first time in a long while that I've actually had a real Gentile on this show to really inform you about his walk and how it is living in the Torah, in the path, or the narrow path, and definitely outside the nation of Yasharel, looking to be grafted in. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
So my name is Jackson Wilson. I'm a 22-year-old Gentile come into the walk. I'm from Kentucky, and I'm just trying to walk in the ways of Yahuwah, the Most High, follow his laws, statutes, commandments, and yeah.
How did you turn into this walk being at such a young age? Because this is definitely not something 22-year-olds are into these days.
Yeah, and I didn't celebrate my birthday, but I just turned 22 too, so I'm young. But so I think it was about September of 2023 when it all truly started, because I remember being at church, and this was during a kind of like a church revival. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy preaching on a like mission trip to Israel. And so it really sparked my interest, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and that in that moment, you know, I had already graduated high school, but I didn't really know what I was exactly going to do with my life. You know, I had been applying for the fire department, things like that. But that in that moment, him talking about that mission trip to Israel, that was the moment where I was like, you know, I'm going to be somebody. And at the time, I was saying I was going to be somebody for the Lord. But now, no. But, yeah, so that was the moment I was like, I'm gonna be somebody for him, you know? And then a few months, I kept it to myself because I was like, man, do I really want to be like a missionary? I mean, that could be a tough life, whether you stay in the United States or go to a foreign nation. But, I kept it to myself until about the very beginning of January. And then I went to the pastor about it, even before my brother or my parents or anything like that. And I talked to him about it. We went over a few things. You know, you can go to the seminary schools and stuff like that. And then around February is when I kind of told my parents everything, and which they were emotional about it, which is pretty understandable. You don't want your kid to go off to a foreign nation, drop everything,
right?
Potentially. So I kept all this stuff to myself for a little bit, but I got to it, told my parents, and then I decided I was going to go to a school in Louisville, a seminary school. It's really expensive, but I had at this church I'd gone to my whole life, so I know I had people who were willing to help me with that, with the payment of tuition, room and board, those sorts of things. So, whenever I think it was March or April, so about a year ago, I say the journey started like a year and a half ago, but truly a year ago is when I came across a video on TikTok about the true name of the Most High. Now, you had heard Yahweh, you hear that, but you'll never say it. You're so stuck on God, Lord, Jesus, those things. But whenever I saw that video, I was like, what? I tried my absolute hardest to fight that for about a month. It was killing me. I mean, it was hard to sleep because I wanted to know the truth. I can't stand being lied to. I wanted to know the truth so bad. So I finally accepted. I was like, Yahuwah is his name. Yahusha is his son's name. And from there, I think that's when I really started to take off, because I was letting him know I was trying to seek him. You know? So, and this church, which I had stopped going to now, I had already signed up to go on the mission trip. We're going to Honduras. It was about a group of about 11 or 12 of us, and this was in July of 24. And so, I was still enrolled in the school. I was going to go up there. So I put in my 2 weeks notice at work. And I remember the second to last day at work, I went somewhere to like our mechanical room where I was at. I did something real quick, started coming back to the office. And I hear a voice say to me, "You don't belong there." And I didn't even have to ask questions. I instantly knew what he was talking about. He was talking about that school. Just like that, like the snap of a finger popped in my mind. So I went home, I told my parents. I didn't tell them about the voice, what I heard. I just said, I can't go to there. And they were actually relieved because they didn't really want me to leave, get to go away. But yeah, and then my last day of work was that next day. And then that next day, that Saturday, was whenever I left for the mission trip. So I had it lined up to where I was going to my last week of work, mission trip. And then I was going to have a couple of weeks to myself, be with family before I went up to school in August. So that mission trip was really, to get away, it was good. Now, even though I was around people in the church and we were doing things, we were going door to door, we were working in a school, fixing ceiling fans for them, because I mean, in Honduras it gets hot, and so, and they don't have any AC really, it's limited at least. And I just kept hearing things come to me. Three, I think three things. It was obedience, maybe two, obedience and fear. Because at the time, I didn't really understand what true fear of the Most High was. You get told, and I'm not saying having reverence and respect isn't amazing. Obviously, you should, but it's a little bit deeper than that. You have to fear him with your soul. I think it says in Matthew, don't fear man who can destroy your body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So, and then you look at stories like Isaiah's encounter, Job's encounter, and the fear that they had. Like he's Job, he said he hated himself. I abhor myself because my ears have always heard of you, my eyes, but now that my eyes have seen you. The same thing with Isaiah, because he was living among people with like unclean lips. That's when true fear, I started understanding what it was. That's when I understood that I had to give up pork and other foods, things I can no longer be eating. I can't walk with Yahuwah and continue eating bacon. Like you just cannot, you can't do that. Having a fear of him means you're gonna follow him wholeheartedly with everything in you. And I think when I started abiding and following those dietary laws was when he gave me that, my first, I don't know, I guess, set of like a little bit of wisdom. Because the fear of him is the beginning of wisdom. When I became afraid to eat those things, and everybody around me was eating them. And when we were in Honduras, the ladies that we stayed in a little house, a little team house, the ladies, I mean, every meal, I'm not kidding, every meal was something pork. So I was sitting there eating rice only. I was starving. Like it was tough, but
But during your in your fear process, so you never had to actually feel being reprimanded or disciplined. Like you just read it and be like, oh, I need to stop eating that. Or did you kind of slowly turn from it because you were being corrected during that process? Or you just, boom, I need to stop eating it.
there were a few months before the trip where I was like, man, should I really be eating this? And then eventually it just hit me. I was like, I can't be eating this. I know it's wrong. I understood the how unhealthy it was, even outside of what the Bible says. They're literally trash cans of the earth. That's what they are. It's disgusting. So yeah, I had discipline before. It took a little bit, but now, nah, I'm never going back.
And how was that separation or that isolation period with your parents and your brother? Did they understand it, or you just really had to step away from them and just go dark for a couple of months or even a couple of weeks? How was that process for that?
No, I still, even right now, I'm in my parents' house. I told them last night I'm about to move out. And I told them, I said, I'm not going to Easter tomorrow. That's what I told them last night. And that's where they're at right now. Yeah.
So are they Christians or
Yes, Baptist.
Oh, whoa, see, they deep in the South Baptist
Yeah,
Christian.
yeah, yeah.
So
Yeah.
how was that growing up and understanding the truth and trying to educate them on the real name, the feast days? Are you started that process yet?
I haven't started the feast days process yet, but I want to say I'm with you on the whole Southern Hemisphere. I'm with you on that. But growing up in, the Baptist, I don't really know what church is like outside of that. I've never been to a Catholic church. I don't Church of Christ, none of that. But growing up in a Baptist, they teach some okay things, but then there's and then but it's just all a bunch of garbage. And I even knew at a young age that there was something. I don't mean like uplift myself, but I knew there was something different about me. There was something more. There was something more that was out there, but I never really took that initiative to go and find it and read the scriptures for myself until recently.
What do you say your
So,
mind was on before you woken up? Like, what was your main point of emphasis in life? Was it partying, hanging out? Like, what was your thing that you felt kept you clouded from his truth?
honestly, just work, and it's not the desire to. I don't know why. I've never been a partier. I've never been a drinker. I've never done drugs. And I thank the Most High for that. He has never allowed me to, fall into that, thankfully, because I know that's destroyed lives. That's caused generational curses in families. So it's tough. But now that I'm coming out of that Baptist church, really, I know I'm getting close. Like finally, getting both feet on, not wobbling. I don't care what anybody says about me. I'm ready for it, truly.
And how does this affect your work? Are you still doing the work in Honduras? Like, what are you doing now?
So that was just a 1 week mission trip. I went back and got my a full time job where I was before. But the thing is that's what I like about that is I can provide for myself, and also I know once I get the Shabbats down, the feast days, I'll be able to have those days off.
So you'll be able to make almost your own schedule, right?
Yes.
And that is the point of emphasis for you taking this job, is the making sure you have the Shabbats and the feast days and able to observe them on your time.
Correct.
So how was this transfer, like transforming yourself from the Gregorian calendar to Yah's calendar? Was it tough? Because a lot of people still struggle with it today, even those who are older than you that have a lot more understanding maybe, but they struggle with it. How are you able to cope with doing both calendars at the same time? Obviously, Gregorian for work and then Yah's calendar for his feast days.
Like I said, I haven't got into the whole feast. Like I didn't celebrate Passover this past month or anything because I'm aligned with the or trying to get aligned with the Southern Hemisphere and when that begins. But I think once you really get the whole 12 months, 30, 31 Gregorian out of your head and Monday through Saturday, calling it by the whatever day it is. Once you get that out of your head, you can start seeing things more clearly. And I still struggle with it because right now I've read once I finished Yasher, I'm on like Yasher 68 or 9 maybe, and it takes a while. I'll tell you that. It takes some time. Those are some long chapters. That's a long book. But once I get done with Yasher, I'm really gonna dive more into going back into Leviticus. Learning every single thing I can about those feast days, every single thing I can about the Torah. Because I mean, I've read, Genesis through Deuteronomy, but, I'm ready to go all out. And so, yeah.
And now that you're awakened, have you seen this world in a different with a different lens than you said it than you saw it before? Like, are you seeing the symbolism? Are you seeing that sports are scripted? Like, what are you seeing?
Yeah. You're from you live in Fort Lauderdale, right? Okay. Yeah, so I just came back on vacation from there. Flew out of Fort Lauderdale, flew to Tampa on and then I was in the Tampa airport and I see two black men wearing Greek fraternity jackets. So I mean, and even 6 months ago I never would have recognized that. Things are just popping out. I see the symbolism in sports. I see what's his name during the inauguration throw up his hands in a pyramid. Yeah, sports. I'm coming away from that
Were you
because
a
I'm
big
a
sports guy?
big basketball fan. Yeah.
What team?
Kentucky, because I'm from Kentucky in
Okay.
college, and the Suns in the NBA.
Okay. So you was like, one day you were watching and it was like, man, this ain't even hitting no more. I can't even do
Yeah,
this.
it's I'm coming away from it. And so there's no, what, ask me that question again, because I feel like I'm missing something.
Oh, what did you see like outside the outside world, the symbolism? You said that you saw the Greek jackets and all that. Is anything else as far as, Masonic that you can point out and say, "Oh yeah, now I know what it is. Now I know what this world is now."
Yeah, I understand Freemasonry a lot more, symbolism. And one thing I've always thought since the beginning of this walk is that when you walk in the light of who Yahuwah is, all you see is darkness. See it everywhere. And I can't help, I'll be talking to my dad and he thinks I'm crazy, but I'll be like, yeah, he's a Freemason, or he's a Prince Hall. You're like, what? How do you talk like that? And it's hard sometimes because I'm a very I can be serious, but I'm a pretty unserious person. I'm a pretty chill, relaxed guy. But it's to talk about, sorry, that's my Roomba going off. But it's hard for me to be serious sometimes because it's the way I am. But when I'm serious around my parents, they don't take me serious. Really, you get the whole you sound like you're in a cult stuff, but I can't. There's sometimes that I don't know what to say.
Where do you see yourself to 5 to 10 years in this walk and in this world? Do you feel like you are being called to be a husband, a provider, or you feel that you're called to do the Torah and to be a light to other Gentiles? Like, how do you feel right now your future is going to look like for you?
Right. I'm not so sure about the husband part. I've never been in a relationship.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang, bro.
But I mean, it's okay, I'm willing to make the if I never get married, if I never see marriage or a relationship, as long as I am walking in the Torah, following his feast days, I'll be okay. Walking in righteousness, uprightness, I'm gonna be okay. So I started with my family. Like I try to help them understand this stuff. So I do want to be a light to other Gentiles, but when they're all rooted in Christianity, they're still stuck in it. And I get it from their perspective. I really do, to look at me and be like, he's crazy. He just sees something on the internet and believes it.
Right.
I get it. I do. But I don't know how to I still got to rely on Yah to guide me and on how to approach certain things, because I'm not I can tell them stuff all day long,
Right.
but they're never gonna grasp it.
Right. I would say this for advice, because I deal with this with my mother also. Is anytime they say a verse or anything they believe in, I undercut it with a Bible verse and I'll ask a question. So you got to put it on them. You can't tell them because then they reject it because you're like, you're my son. What do you know? So what you do is you ask them a question and watch them try to finagle the answer in their mind and to the point that they have to submit to the real power of Yah. So
Can
if
you
you,
hear me?
yeah, I hear you. So
Okay,
if
you
I,
just cut out. You cut out for
huh?
like the last 15 seconds.
Oh, my bad. But so what I was saying is like you have to ask them questions. You have to put them on the spot. You say, okay, where in the Bible does it say this? I say, you going to Easter? Where in Scripture does it say this? Where in this say th that this is the day? Where does it come from? Like you have to ask them questions so they can't force like why are you accusing me? They have to actually bring out the knowledge that they know and watch them just dig around, and then you just leave them at that. Then you just plant seeds after that, and I think that's the best way to deal with, especially our parents in that generation, is they're just stiff-necked people because they just been through so much and they haven't really been tried in the Torah like we have been tried. So it's very difficult for them to understand at this point. But just ask them questions and you'll be able to just insert seeds in their mind to make them understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, I said that to my dad last night. I said, why do you celebrate Easter? Like, you don't know where the traditions even come from.
Right.
And then I was like, so why don't you even celebrate Passover? Because they even call it Easter, though they say it's the Christian Passover or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, because I'm not Jewish. And I told him, I said, you're not supposed to learn the way, I mean, and I'm not referring to the ones in the land of Israel, but I said, you're not supposed to learn the ways of the heathen anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I told him about Jubilees, about how it's supposed to be, you know, an ordinance forever and all those things. And I don't even think he really understands the whole, he's a Gentile. He still thinks Israelites are white too, I think. Like, it's just tough, but.
But that comes in when you grow in scripture and you grow in the word, you'll be able to see certain verses where you'll be able to attack it a lot better. And we all went through that process, like not knowing what to say, when to say it, and how to say it, and where to look for it in the scriptures. That just comes with good biblical recall. When you read scriptures long enough, you start memorizing them and you'll be able to recall them right on the spot. So as a young man, what do you feel was your vice in this world? What was the one thing that it was hard for you to let go of to be in this walk?
100% lust.
Mm.
And I think for, you know, I'm not gonna speak for all men, but if lust is, you know, as a guy, you understand,
mm-hmm,
how hard that is and how accessible it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everywhere. It's in your phone screen. It's everywhere. The TV. It's so accessible, and that's the hardest thing, because you turn right, it's there. You turn left, it's there. I mean, but yeah, it was definitely lust. Like I said, I've never struggled with anything besides, you know, out like partying, drinking, drugs, but definitely lust.
But how do you fix that? How do you tune that out, that spirit out?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to fast. Mm. Got to fast for sure. Because once you train your flesh to keep from satisfying your flesh, mm-hmm, you got to do that through fasting. You got to, I mean, it sucks, because I remember when I did my first fast, it was like I was aiming for 3 days, mm, no food or water, biblical fast. But when I got to 2 days,
mm-hmm,
I started to think it was like maybe a Monday at like 9
mm-hmm
p.m. Because I'd eaten before that. Monday 9 p.m. to like Wednesday, I only made it 2 days. And when I ate, I felt worse.
Really?
Worse. I felt horrible after that. It made my stomach feel terrible. So I learned my lesson with that. Instead of trusting in Yah, I started trusting in food.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I learned my lesson. But definitely fasting is the way. Fasting and prayer. You know, distract your mind. Get away from that. If it's your phone, put it away. Stay away from it as much as you can. And so I've really grown in that.
Okay. I know a lot of guys that I have on this show talk about how they struggle with lust, and I always like to hear their perspective and how they dealt with it. And it's usually 9 times out of 10, it's turning your phone off and fasting and praying. When I went through it, I fasted. I did the Ezra and Baruch fast, which is like 4 to 5 days with either no food and water or just water. And it worked, because after you fast, you feel lightened. You feel, you know, your spirit come to the surface. And even so now, when I just watch sex scenes that just happen to be in movies, it doesn't have that same effect that it did when I was in my younger phases and my younger days of just being in sin and fornicating. Like, it just didn't hit the same. So it's, I look at it as if I'm looking at, I don't know, a blank screen. I just don't have those type of emotions anymore. When you felt like you reached the end of your lust, where did you put your time into now? Because obviously you spent time like looking at stuff. So where did you transfer that time into after fasting?
Just being in the scriptures,
mm,
reading. I mean, I'll read at work. You know, when downtime, I don't have a hard job. I have a lot of downtime. Mm-hmm. So I'll read at work. I'll take my break, go sit in my car, read two or three chapters, mm-hmm, slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's been the big thing with me too. Reading the scriptures, man. I read slow, to really understand it and just understand what it is I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you do that, I mean, you read too fast, you're not going to remember a single thing. You're not.
What do you think is the issue with the men in your generation?
Man, so many. I want to, if I had to pick one, lack of leadership. They don't, whether it's in the home, they don't have a father figure, and they grow up to be weak men. They fall into homosexuality, maybe. And it's not known how to lead. And, I'm no expert because I'm like how to raise a family. I'm 22. I don't have that. But, I've always been in a, loving two-parent household. But I know by, my father, I know in certain ways to be a leader and certain ways to not be a leader. So just my thing on that. But yeah, lack of leadership. People, and then that also kind of goes back to not having a fear of Yahuwah to me. You're never going to be able to lead a household if you can't, come to Yahuwah yourself as a man.
What do you feel like your qualities for leadership? Do you have the intangibles to be a leader, or you feel like you can?
I think I can. One thing I struggle with is praying. I feel like I'm just babbling sometimes. Like really babbling. But I do think that I have the ability to lead and teach. Maybe not this current day right now, but I know that y'all's gonna prepare my heart for that and my ruach.
And the flip
So.
side, what do you feel is the women's biggest issue in this generation?
Materialism, big time materialism. Either they want the finished product of a man, or they want money, whatever it might be. They don't have the fear of Yah really either, and they don't have an example to follow. They don't have a man to follow. Kind of like now, I came into this walk as a Gentile, but outside of like. Really, you and Brother Ron are like the only, I would say, social media platforms I follow. Like as a Gentile, I didn't really have the greatest example of an Israelite to follow coming into this walk. It was all Yah, really. And so, same thing for as a woman. They don't really have a lot of men, and it starts with the man. But they don't have a lot. There's not a lot of women for to look at those men and to follow in the footsteps and be led by a man of Yah.
And it's because they struggle with also not having fathers in their house as well.
Right.
And then, what if you are given a woman of this generation, of this world to fix? Do you feel like you would have the heart and ruach to bring this woman into the truth?
I think the hardest thing would be, I don't think it would be patience. I think I could be patient with it. I think you would just be seeing certain things and just being triggered by it. What if she was or she was big time into partying and drinking, and then me not being that way, being like, it just triggers me. It would definitely be tough, but I think I could maybe do it. I had been saying that, like, man, I'm never gonna I could never be married to someone who's not a virgin or something like that. But it's like I don't know. I mean, I've never had intercourse. I'm a virgin still. All praise to Yah for that. He's never allowed me to be handed over to that. But I could be patient with it, but just those certain things, maybe them in a if it's a college girl and she's in a sorority or something like it'd be tough. It'd be tough.
It'd be tough.
For sure.
And so what in scriptures do you feel is the best book for you to really learn and understand Yah? Or
What
what's your
do you
favorite book in scripture right now?
cutting out again?
Oh, my bad. You hear me? Hear me?
Can't hear.
I can hear you though.
Okay. I can hear you now.
Okay. What is your favorite book in scripture right now?
Man. Probably, yeah, sure.
Okay.
It's incredible. It really is, because there's so much more details in it than you ever know. I mean, you can read the story of Abraham and Joseph or whatever, but when you get to Yasher and those accounts of those, oh my goodness, it's beautiful. Like, something that really changed my life was in Yasher, with Abraham and with Nimrod. And he, mean, he was with Haran, and the whole Haran didn't even say the words. It says that Yas heard in his heart that if Nimrod prevails or something like that, I'll go with Nimrod, and if Abraham, then I'll stand with the Abraham. He heard in it. He heard it in his heart. That's crazy. And because his heart wasn't perfect with him like it was with Abraham, that was the end of him. And that should be a lesson to everybody. I don't care who you are. That should strike fear into you. When you're thinking about going back to something of this world, that should be at the top. That should be in your mind. So,
Big
yeah, you
time,
have to.
yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing I would say. That was one of the things that really keep me from not backsliding is that, like, no matter how hard I be fighting it, I always think of like Haran and other situations where you don't even, like you said, you don't even have to say it. But I sometimes in my prayer, I'd be just saying it so he could just know where my head is, but not where my heart is, but where my head is. And I think that's also is important for us in this walk. Like a lot of thoughts come into our heads. As long as it doesn't seep into our heart, then we're good. I just we he knows that our minds are wicked. He knows that our minds are stiff-necked and it's easy to go astray. And that's why when we say it during prayer, we can just get it out there so he can be like, all right, let me fix you and let me, order your steps and push you to this way so you can understand. And I can let you, fall into temptation. I'm not gonna let you be tried more than you are able to withstand. So I definitely get the description with Haran. What book do you think you need better understanding on?
Either Leviticus and Jubilees going on the feast days, maybe to, go back to those, write things down. I know I need to reread Wisdom of Solomon, because I knocked that out in like a few hours. It was only like 19 chapters, I think. So to go back and I kind of grasped it, but to read it again very, very slow, because it was beautiful. I highlighted a bunch of different things in it, but I can't wait to get to the Baruch's. Can't wait. Second Baruch, especially.
Yeah, that Baruch and Ezra, I think, is my two favorite books because they have so much end time revelation in those books, and they really go in detail of what we should expect in the end times. Do you feel the economic crunch of what's going on right now? Do you feel like things tightening up economically?
Yeah, absolutely. With all the tariff talk and which I stay out of the politics and the news, because I've been on the train for a while that it's all a joke. They're all satanic puppets or whatever they are. But my family, they can't let that go. I don't know why, but yeah, I can definitely feel it coming. I've started buying waters, like 40 pack of waters, not because I don't trust in Yah, but because I know that like there might be a little bit where I don't, maybe the water's polluted or the stores go crazy, and I'm not going to the store when all hell breaks loose. That'd be crazy to do that. But yeah, I can definitely feel it coming. But just a few things to prepare. And I'm not in one of these major smart cities, I don't believe. I don't think they're on the list for that. But and I'm even outside of the city. I'm in like the country.
Like what part of the country?
I am I'm like I'm I live outside of Bowling Green, Kentucky.
I know what it
So
is.
yeah, I live a little bit outside of that. I mean, we built our house a few years ago, so
Do you guys plant? Y'all plant crops or anything or no?
we thought we need to this summer. Well, I won't be living here, but my parents need to.
And where are you moving to?
I'll be moving into the city probably, apartment, but just to isolate myself. I know what I need to do for right now. You know, they won't want me in the household if I'm not attending, you know, church.
Right.
But I mean, I'm gonna respect their wishes and I'm gonna trust in Yah. I mean, I can provide for myself. I'll be okay. So.
Do you feel isolation is important to you?
Absolutely. You know, I've been doing it in my room the last year.
Okay.
Not that I won't come out, but you know, I've been diving deep into things, but
I think
yeah,
this is also important for people to understand as well. When I talked on this show about putting it all in Yah's hand, he will put you in a situation or he'll put you in a job so you can worship him and him only. I think this is a perfect example of that, of you being in your household with your parents and you learning Yah, and it's causing discomfort between you and your parents, and now you are blessed enough to move into an apartment building by yourself so you could do the feast days when you want to do them, you could do the Shabbats when you want to do them, you could do the offerings when you want to do them. I think this is the first stepping stone of Yah truly being with you and ordering your steps and making sure he's putting you in a place for you to chase him a lot better than the situation you're in now.
absolutely. Yeah.
So, what do you feel like you're going to do when you first get into your apartment? Are you going to do an offering, drink offering? Have you got into how you're going to do offerings
Bro, I cannot wait. I
yet?
cannot wait. It's gonna feel, I know it's gonna be amazing. I know, I mean, I'll be able to buy like a leg of lamb or whatever it is. I don't know all the information on them. I know I need to get into that, but I cannot wait to where I can build, you know, how I'm gonna be, it'll be like, now, obviously, I don't celebrate Christmas, but I feel like it's gonna be like that morning of Christmas, like a little kid again. Building the altar, you know, putting that together, buying the right kind of wood. I can't wait for it. You know, I don't know what exactly what offering it'll be, but whatever it is, I know it's, I'm gonna allow it to be led by him. And so, yeah.
Right, we almost went the bottom of this show. Go ahead, give us a words of wisdom from a young 22-year-old Gentile in his walk. What advice do you have for those brothers and sisters of yours that also are now coming to this walk? What should they prepare for? What should they look for? And how should they worship the Most High?
Yeah. One thing is don't let your pride get in the way. Do not allow the fact that you are a Gentile, whether you're Hispanic, white, whatever you are, stop you from following the ways of Yah. Don't allow your skin color or whatever culture you're from stop you from cleaving into his natural branches. Do not let it happen. That's going to be the problem with so many people. People be like, oh, well, black people are the chosen. When it eventually all comes out and people realize that, they're gonna be like, nah, I don't believe it. They're not gonna want to because they have maybe a racist mind or whatever. Do not let that stop you. Once you get over that stumbling block, because I was never a racist, like a full on blatant racist, but I mean, I was one of those corny, edgy teenagers, and you know how they are. You know, they'll make slick jokes or whatever. But whenever I started realizing who his people were, no, he humbled me. He humbled me. And ever since that day, I would never boast or say harm or evil against a natural branch or anybody for that matter. So get rid of your pride.
Bro, that's a word. That's a word. I'm glad you contacted me and having you on this show. I don't get to have a lot of Gentiles on this show. I love to have more on this show, and especially from young men like yourself coming into this walk, staying clean from fornication, which is truly a accomplishment in itself because like you said, struggling with lust and sex is coming so easily nowadays, and for young men in your generation, bro, I was thinking you came in here with at least 20 or 30 bodies already, and just to have none at your age, man, is truly an accomplishment, man. I'm truly proud of you with staying in this walk and starting to learn the Torah and his feast days.
Appreciate that, brother.
Thanks for coming on, bro. I definitely got to check in back in when you get into your new apartment so I can see what kind of offerings you started to get into.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
All right. Thanks to you, bro.
See you, man.